This morning, I talked about being a Judah. Now, some of you weren't in the service this morning, and so I just want to review, because my message tonight is not really a part two, it's not really a continuation, but it's a sort of a complementary message to the one I preached this morning. I preached from Genesis chapter 44. Second time Joseph's brothers stood before him. They still didn't know he was Joseph. And you remember Joseph had hidden his silver cup in Benjamin's bag. And he'd let him leave for a little bit, and he sent his soldiers to arrest him and bring him back. And he said, How could you do this to me? I've treated you so kindly. I invited you into my house for dinner and, you know, sold you food that you could take back to your family. And now one of you have stolen my silver cup. And they all denied it and said, no, it's impossible. None of us would have done that. And they began at the oldest and then worked their way down to the youngest, who was Benjamin. And they found Joseph's golden cup in Benjamin's bag. And Joseph said, well, the rest of you could go home, but this one that has stolen my cup has to stay here and be my servant, be my slave. And we talked about how Judah stood before Joseph. Again, he didn't know it was his brother. He thought it was second command in Egypt. So he thought he was talking to somebody that was very powerful, and Joseph was very powerful. And he made the statement, for how shall I go up to my father and the lad be not with me? Judah's father, Jacob, I said in my message, he represented God. And Benjamin, the lad that Judah talked about, represented those people in our life that we love, that we want to make sure go to heaven. Our spouse, our children, our parents, our grandparents, our grandchildren, aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, friends, neighbors, co-workers. And every one of us as Christians ought to say, like Judah, how can I go to heaven? How can I go up to my father and these people in my life not go with me? How can I do that? And I said, Judah said that, and we ought to say it for three reasons. Number one, we ought to say it because it's our job. We've been commissioned to share the good news with other people. That's why God left us here. I said, number two, that we love them. We love those people. And I mentioned this morning, I used Moses as an example. I used the Apostle Paul as an example. Both of them went to God on behalf of other people and said, God, if you can't forgive them, if you can't save them, then let me take their place. Let me bear their penalty for them. Blot me out of the book if you can't save them. And I know that that's not the way it works, but we ought to be so burdened for some people in our life. We ought to love some people in our life so much that even though we know it's not possible, we ought to go to God with that prayer and say, Father, God, just take me. That's what Judah said. He told this the ruler of Egypt, I'll stay. You let Benjamin go. I'll stay. I'll take his punishment. I'll take the penalty I don't believe he stole your cup, but I can't argue with the facts. Let me take his place. And there ought to be people in our life that we love so much that we would go to God and say, if they can't go to heaven, I don't want to go either. We ought to love them that much. And then the third reason that Judah said it, and the third reason we ought to say it, is that we love the Father. God's not willing that any should perish. If you read my words in the bulletin this morning, it said the same thing. The closest thing to God's heart is telling people about Jesus and seeing them get saved. Jesus said one time, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So tonight, I preach a sermon I've entitled, How to Get a Heart for Others. How do we get that heart for others? How do we get a heart that says I don't want anybody to go to hell? I don't want any of my loved ones to go to hell. How do we get a heart for our neighbors? How do we get a heart for our friends? How do we get a heart for those that we work with? How do we get a heart that goes forth with reaping, that sows in tears, and then we can reap with joy? We bear the precious seed with tears, and then we come again rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. How do we get that kind of heart? I will tell you, it doesn't come naturally. I mean, some people aren't born with it, and some people are born with it. That's not the way it works. It just doesn't come naturally. It's not inherited. We don't get it from our parents or our grandparents. And having that kind of heart is not the same as being tender-hearted. We can be tender-hearted, and we can send a care package for a needy family, or we can give to the Red Cross, or we can donate blood to the blood banks, and we can be tender-hearted and do that, but we can be tender-hearted and still not do anything to get others into the kingdom of God. And so tonight, I want to give you five simple suggestions for how you can get the kind of heart that weeps, and with that weeping bears precious seed, and goes into the world and tells others about Christ. So, five reasons. Number one, we need to meditate on the scriptures that talk about redemption and talk about salvation. In Psalm 126, verse 6, the Bible connects tears with the Word of God, the precious seed. The Bible is our message. And before we can go to win others, We need to get the Word of God into our hearts, and we need to let it soak every fiber of our being, and that Word needs to be precious, and that Word needs to be powerful as it works in our life. We have to feel it ourselves. We have to know it ourselves. Patty and I went up north for a couple of days this week, and we visited with her old pastor. He's not old chronologically, but he was her pastor before she and Shorty moved down here and joined our church. And I had a Gideon Bible that Bill had given me, and he saw it, and he said, "Boy, I'd really like to have one of those." I said, "Well, we have some Gideons in our church," and he gave it. He said, "You know, I want to tell you something. We used to support the Gideons." I said, "Well, what happened?" We still support them. We think it's a good cause getting the Word of God out. He said, "Well, I had a Gideon come to my church, and he gave me a bunch of Bibles, and I asked him. I just out of the blue asked him, I said, 'Hey, if you die today, are you 100% sure that you go to heaven?' And he said, 'No.'" He said, "No." And the pastor Doug, that's his name, Doug Kennedy, he said, "Well, how can you try to share? Because the Gideons, I mean, yes, they pass out Bibles, but you talk to them. One of their primary purposes is to be soul winners. One of their primary purposes is to tell other people about Jesus." And Pastor Kennedy said, "How can you share something with somebody else that you don't have yourself? You can't. You can't." And so to get this heart that I'm talking about, and by the way, I talked to Bill. They're going to send another Gideon to that church, and they're going to get reestablished in that church, and I pray that church will support the Gideons again, because I believe in their ministry. We need to get the Word of God out. But how do we get that heart? How do you know it? How do you soak yourself in it? How does it penetrate every fiber of your being? We meditate on the Scriptures. We meditate on the Scriptures that talk about sin and its punishment. The Bible tells us very clearly that we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible tells us that the penalty for that sin, the punishment for that sin, is separation from God. And again, we're not separated from God the moment we die. We're separated from God while we live on this earth. As sinners, apart from God, we are separated from Him while we live here. And you've heard me say, and I've heard you say, I've heard many of you say, I don't know how a person can endure the things that they have to endure on this earth without God. And I don't either. And so a person that's lost has to endure everything this earth throws at them without a heavenly Father, without somebody that's stronger than the prince of the power of the air, that's stronger than any circumstances. That person, apart from Christ, lives that kind of way. And then they die, and then they go to hell. They go into eternity apart from God. And in order to get that heart that will cause us to weep, We need to meditate on those verses and know with every fiber of our being that every sinner that dies and leaves this earth is not going to purgatory. It's not going to get a second chance. It's not going to get one final moment of, to accept redemption. When they take their last breath, when they die, they are going to hell forever and ever and ever and ever. And I don't care who it is, there ought to be people in our life that when we think about that, it causes us to weep. They have no hope. There is no hope. Listen to some of these verses. And these are all from just one gospel, the gospel of Matthew. Matthew 5:22, it talks about those people that don't know Christ. It says they shall be in danger of hell. In Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, look, if your eye offends you, if your hand offends you, and it keeps you from receiving Christ, it's better to cut off your hand and go through life maimed, and better to pluck out your eye and go through life blind than to let your hand or your eye keep you away from Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 13, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Listen, some people talk about hell. Well, it doesn't really exist. It's just a place that God made up to scare people into getting saved. I wish that were true, but it is not true. People that tell you that are lying. It's a lie straight out of hell. Hell is a real place. It's a bottomless pit. It's where the flame is never extinguished. It's a place of darkness, a place of worms. Listen. Only a fool would decide to go to hell. And as we meditate on these scriptures, ye serpent, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Matthew 25, then shall he, the Savior himself, say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, and they shall go away into everlasting punishment. In most of these verses, it was the Son of God. It was Jesus Christ that was talking. And he was warning people about hell. And he was saying, now look, listen, pay attention. Hell is real. And it's where those that reject Christ are going to end up forever and ever and ever and ever. You want to know how to get a heart that will weep and cause you to go forth and bear precious seed? You picture somebody that you love dearly. You get that picture in your mind of them going to hell. Of them going to hell and spend an eternity in that place that was prepared for Satan and his angels, but spend an eternity in that place apart from God. It is a place of fire. It is a place of the bottom of this pit. It's a place where the worm dieth not. It's a place of darkness. But the worst part about hell, the worst part about hell is Jesus is not there. Amen. Jesus is not there. D.L. Moody, that great preacher in Chicago, he said, you let me send a person to hell just for 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You let me send a person to hell for 5 seconds, and they'll come back and they will give their life to winning other people to Jesus Christ. How do we get that heart that weeps, that goes forth and bears precious seeds? We meditate on the scriptures. We meditate on those scriptures that talk about sin and talk about the punishment of sin. We meditate on those scriptures that are our great commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Bible says we're a vine. We're a fruit tree. We're a city set on a hill. It can't be hid. It says we're the salt of the earth. It says we're fishers of men. Our commission, our instructions given to us by Jesus before he left this earth is that we're to go and we're to tell people about him. That's why we're here. I sincerely believe that if you've witnessed to the last person that God has designated you to witness to, that if you've fulfilled that purpose in your life, that he will not leave you in this mess anymore. He will take you to heaven. The fact that we're all still here tonight tells me there's still somebody in every one of our lives that he wants to use us to tell them about Christ, to tell them about our Savior, to tell them what he's done for us, to tell them how we were a sinner, how we deserve to go to hell, but how Jesus loved us and he died for us. The fact that you're still here tonight tells me there's somebody that God has for you to catch for him. So how do we get that heart that weeps? How do we get that heart that goes forth and bears those precious seeds? We meditate on the Scripture. We meditate on the Scripture that talks about sin and its punishment. We meditate on the Scripture that talks about our Great Commission. We meditate on the Scripture that talks about the love that God has for sinners and how Jesus paid the price for them. For God so loved the world. How can it be, Ruth Ann? How can it be that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son? Oh, what a price. What a price God paid for us as sinners. What a price he paid to redeem us. What a price he paid to make us right with him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I mean, just get that into your heart. I mean, sometimes we read the Scripture, we can quote, most of us can quote John 3:16. I mean, we can say it by heart. Some of you have been able to say it by heart for lots of years. You learned it as a little kid. And you've said it from memory for years and years and years and years. I mean, you know it. But I'm talking about letting John 3:16 get in here. Get in here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Look, if we were that important to God, if God loved us so much, there ought to be people that we love that say we got to take that love to them. We got to share that love with them. You read the Gospels. You want to talk about the love of God as you think about the love of God. You read the Gospels. You go back to the end of each of the Gospels. And you read about the crucifixion. Read about it. Study it. Read it over and over and over. They beat him. They whipped him. Put nails through his hands and his feet. Stuck a spear into his side. He was jeered by the crowd. He was forsaken by his heavenly Father. He did all of that for you. And he did all of that for me. And he did all of that for that person in our life who we ought to say about, how can I go up to my Father and that person not be with me? When I think about how much God loved them and about what Jesus suffered for them, how can I go to heaven without them? That'll give you that heart. That'll give you that heart that weeps. That'll give you that heart that goes forth and spreads those precious seeds. Meditate on the Scripture. Meditate on sin and the punishment for sin. Meditate on our commission. Meditate on the love of God. Number two, I got 5 points. It's almost 7 o'clock, but number two, pray. Amen. Pray. Pray. Amen. On the day of Pentecost, there were 5,000 saved and baptized and added to the church. 5,000. You want to know why? Because 120 people spent 10 days in prayer waiting on God. In Acts 1:14, the Bible says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." And then in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." A couple different times it's talking about that there. Two different times they prayed, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. The Holy Spirit can give us that heart that weeps, because he's got the same heart. The Holy Spirit can give us that heart that goes to share those precious seeds. So how do we get that heart? We meditate on the Word of God. We pray. And then number three, we hang around and we associate with those that have a heart for others. The disciples got their heart from others for others. Who'd they get it from? They got it from Jesus. That's where they got their heart from. I mean, as the disciples hung around Jesus, they saw that the heart that he had for other people. They saw the heart that he had for that woman that he met at Jacob's well, been married 5 times, living with a man that wasn't her husband, that wanted a drink of that water that only Jesus could offer, where she'd never thirst again. The disciples saw the heart that he had for her. The disciples saw the heart that Jesus had for that tax collector, the wicked tax collector, who one day climbed up a tree because he was short of stature and wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus came to the foot of that tree. "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today." Salvation entered that house because the Savior had a heart for that wicked tax collector. And I could go on. I mean, there's story after story that God includes in the Bible that tells us that Jesus had a heart for sinners. The disciples, when they hung around Jesus, they got his heart for others, for sinners. If we want to have a heart for others, find somebody that has one and stick with them. Associate with them. Just go up to them and say, "Hey, I believe you have a heart for other people. I want it. Could I just hang with you? Could I fellowship with you? Could I study with you? Could I pray with you? I want that same heart. I believe you could help me get it." So associate with those that have it. Number four, lay aside the things of the world that take your mind off of others. In Matthew, again, the Bible says, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Earth competes with heaven. Our bodies compete with our souls. Time competes with eternity. I mentioned D.L. Moody a moment ago. I'll tell you another little story about him. He was a wonderful preacher. Preached not only in the United States of America, but went and had great revivals in Europe. When he started to get older, he started to worry about how he was going to provide for his family when he left. And so he scraped together some money and bought 900 acres of land. It was going to be an investment that his family could live off of when he went to heaven. The story goes, the very next revival that he went into, he says, "I was frustrated. I was hindered. It seems like my prayers wouldn't be an answer. I didn't have the power of God like it had in previous revivals, and my preaching was just it lacked any punch. It lacked any power." And so he got his song leader. Stanky was the song leader at the time, and he said, "Brother Stank, we need to go to prayer." And they got on their knees and spent hours in prayer, asking God, said, "Why have you removed your power?
Why have you taken your hand off of us? And as they were praying, his song leaders said to him, I wonder if a diamond can shine as well as it ought with 900 acres of black dirt on it. He simply made that statement. Moody was convicted. He went out, sold his 900 acres, said, God can take care of my family after I die. He gave himself wholly to God, and he said, that very night I went to preach, and there were hundreds of people saved. God gave me my power back because he got rid of the things of earth that took his mind off of others. And then quickly, number five, you want to know how to have that heart? Just get started. Amen. Just get started. Jesus said to Peter and Andrew, probably said the same thing to James and John, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Just follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. So I say tonight, you want to have that heart? Just get started. Pick out somebody you love. Pick out somebody in your family. Somebody that's not saved. Somebody that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior. And start witnessing to them. Start sharing with them what Jesus did for you. And by the way, that's the most effective way you can witness. I mean, we ought to know the Romans road. We ought to know the scriptures that talk about being lost and being sinners and the penalty for sin. But you want to know what the most effective witness is? For you to go to somebody and say, hey, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Find somebody you love. Find somebody you care about. Bathe them in prayer. And then go start telling them about Jesus. Say, preacher, I may offend them. Maybe. But I'd rather offend somebody I love as opposed to standing by and letting them go to hell without me trying. They may not listen to me, but you've planted the seed. You've planted the seed. The Holy Spirit can take that seed and use other people in their life to ground it, to fertilize it, to cultivate it. You plant the seed. Just find somebody. Go to them. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The Bible says there's joy in heaven over one sinner that comes to Christ. I don't know about you, but I'd like to be the cause of a lot of joy in heaven. I'd like to be the cause of those angels dancing around in heaven. You know, there's going to be Pentecostals in heaven. They're not going to be as reserved as us Baptists. They're going to clap their hands and they're going to dance and they're going to rejoice. That's what they do. And by the way, I'm just teasing. I hope you know I love you and I'm teasing. Sometimes we as Baptists are too reserved. We ought to rejoice more. There is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that comes to Christ. We ought to have a heart when we think about those people in our life, those lads in our life. Going back to my message this morning, how can we go to heaven? How can we go up to our Father and those folks not be with us? Lord, give us a heart that breaks for the lost. Give us a heart that sheds, that scatters the precious seed of the Word of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending Jesus to die in our place, for the cross and everything that he went through to purchase our salvation. Thank you tonight that most people here know what it is to have Jesus as their Savior, to have a home in heaven, to have their sins forgiven. And I pray again, if there's even just one person here tonight that doesn't know Christ, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would help them see that their condition. They're a sinner, lost, separated from God, headed toward hell. But all that can change in an instant if they just come and trust what Jesus did for them on Calvary. If there's one like that here tonight, I pray you'd help them to do that. To just say, I'm a sinner. I deserve the penalty that comes with sin. But Jesus, I'm trusting what you did on Calvary for me, and I'm asking you to be my Savior. Please save me from the penalty of my sin. And if you'll pray that prayer, he'll do it. He'll do it for you in an instant. He'll save you from sin. And then, Father, for the many Christians that are here, break our hearts for the lost. Help us to see in a way we've never seen before what awaits them in eternity. Help us to see in a way we've never seen before the love that you have for them that sent your Son to the cross. Help us to be that one that weeps. Help us to be that one that goes and scatters that seed. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Do in our lives tonight what only you can do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.